to see what a creative genius artist God is, all you have to do is two things. First, look out the window, and then look in the mirror. And you'll see, well, you ought to be able to say, I love what I'm looking at, both out the window and in the mirror. I love what I'm looking at. If you hate what you see in the window or hate what you see in the mirror, then you're looking at life or self apart from God. I mean, you saw snow this morning, right? Well, you're going to see sunshine this afternoon. And some of you said, oh, no. And some of you said, oh, how pretty. I don't want it to be here, but oh, how pretty. I mean, it is. It is beautiful. But the mirror should reflect that too. The Bible says, love others as you love yourself. Right? I don't mean narcissistic, but love yourself. Do you know people that hate themselves, their neighbors in trouble? Love others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. People that hate themselves wind up doing a lot of damage to the people around them. So, if you're going to hate something, hate what God hates. And it's not people. There's no people on that list. He doesn't hate people. Now, some people, they're in horrible situations. Just, I don't even know how you could even imagine different people's lives, but they're pretty dark. But you need to hear from God and like what he likes and hate what he hates. But it can't be people in those categories. All of history is his story. That's what it is. All the what of history is pointless without the why. And the why is pointless without the who. So great revelation and understanding occurs when we discover the what and the why and the who. I'm starting to sound like Dr. Seuss, aren't I? Anyway, in Bill Bryson's book, The Rise of Life, he discusses the odds of life forming by cosmic accident, like scientists would like to offer as an idea instead of a grand artist creator. In our body is about 1 million different kinds of proteins. And it wasn't because you had a 2-pound cheeseburger last night. 1 million different kinds of proteins. And so we're extremely complex, right? Look to your neighbor and say, you're extremely complex. You're extremely complex. But each protein is a string of these things called amino acids, and they have to be lined up in exact order at the same time. For example, the protein called collagen. Collagen is the main structure protein for your bones, your hair, your skin. If you did not have the protein collagen, you would be a big puddle of goo. Because there would be no structure to your life. You would just be a glob trying to play the bass guitar or the drums or doing anything. So we sure need collagen. But collagen has 1,055 amino acids that have to be lined up exactly in order at the same time to make a collagen protein. Anybody ever remember the old one-armed bandit slot machines? Remember those? I think they do everything electronic now. But in those days, they had typically three wheels that would spin when you pull the handle, and it had about 10 pictures on them. The standard one did. There's lemons and bells and three bars and three cherries and the number seven. And if you've ever seen a slot machine or played a slot machine, the whole idea was to line up three of them. But because there's 10 of them per wheel, 10 times 10 times 10, the odds are 1,000 to 1 that you'd get three sevens. Because there's 1,000 combinations of possibilities with three wheels of 10 pictures. So let's take a one-armed bandit. But instead of three wheels, we put the collagens, 1,055 wheels. And because there's 20 major types of amino acids, let's have a slot machine with 20 pictures on each wheel and 1,055. That's a wide slot machine, right? It would go from here to across the street in one-inch wheels with 20 of them on it. So, boy, the odds are greatly increased, aren't they? Can you imagine pulling that and trying to line up 1,055 of the same symbol and they've got 20 on each wheel? If you reduced those wheels to just 200 of them instead of 1,055, if we reduced the wheels by 80% and just had 200 wheels with 20 pictures on each wheel, the odds are 1 out of, and then the number with 260 zeros is more than all the atoms in the universe. Every galaxy has billions of stars and more than billions of planets and moons. And there are billions of galaxies. Billions of galaxies, each having billions of stars. And you know how tiny an atom is. Well, just 200 wheels would be more than all the atoms in the universe. So you can imagine what 1,055 wheels would be to spin that baby. You'd be there all day, wouldn't you? Oh, that's a lot. And not only that, that gives us the odds of one single protein occurring. And there is about a million different kinds of proteins in our body. So multiply that astronomical number by the million. My conclusion is God is smart. Wow. God is so smart. We have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, don't we? So why don't we use it? We can't be important if the universe is that big, correct? It's so big and we're so small, we can't be important. Yet the Bible talks about someday the universe going out of existence and us not. When the universe has been reduced to nothing and you're still here, how big is it now? Yeah, bring it, huh? How big is it now, universe? You're gone and I'm here. I'm connected to God. The universe is gone and I'm still here. How big is the universe now? You're a big deal. We're going to take a little walk through Hebrews chapter 1 this morning, kind of like a walk through a garden or a park. I'm going to throw in a few comments here and there as we go, but I'm just going to read it out of the Passion Translation. This is one I've just started using this last year. So we're just going to start at the beginning of Hebrews and take a walk through that first chapter. And it says this, throughout our history, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation that he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. It's kind of like pieces of the puzzle all put together. Progressive revelation is always based on previous understanding. Some groups try to get their theology by just staying in the Old Testament, not understanding that progressive revelation took us into the Christ covenant. And that is the new revelation that completes the puzzle of the pieces that we were putting together. Literally, it means that God did it by all methods and at any price. That's what the Bible actually says. Let's go on. But to us living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The last days, by the way, is not just now. They started at the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 in the upper room, and they go till Jesus returns. Now, this verse just said this: Jesus is the language of God. He's God's language. If you don't speak Jesus, then you can't speak with God. As many religions and cults and such that are out there, God doesn't speak their language because he speaks Jesus and they don't. It is not true that any of their prayers are heard. They're not even speaking in God's language, the language of a son, the Jesus language. Jesus is the language of God. Now, the word panorama there literally meant all the universes of all things and all time. Let's go on. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature. Now, that technically is the word rhema, God's true nature, the expression of it. That is the word rhema, and we're a rhema church. His mirror image, that means a constant reflection. We get our identity of who we are in Christ. If you are seeking your worth or your value in the mirror of other people, they will fail you. If you're looking for them to tell you how smart you are and how good-looking you are and how talented you are, it will fail. The mirror that we need to look in is the mirror of Christ, because our identity is now found in Christ. Doesn't matter if 100 people criticized you, your value is not diminished by any criticism because your value is independent of people. Likewise, 100 people praising you does not increase your value at all. They don't have the power to give you value. Who you are in Christ is your value. And we should look in the mirror and see Jesus looking back at us, because we're in him. And our brain goes into scramble mode to deny that. Oh, no, of all the things I've done and all the things I've thought, all of the issues that I haven't resolved yet, I can't even look in that mirror and see Christ looking back. Who you are in Christ is who you are. And once you realize that, all the insecurity complexes that you've ever thought you had or were, they better be gone. If you're still struggling with insecurity about who you are, that's because you've not accepted the teaching of the Word of God that who you are in Christ is the only thing that counts. Let's go on. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the Majestic One. Literally, it means his majesty. He is infinitely greater than angels, for he inherited a rank and a name far greater than theirs. That word, a name that he inherited, it's literally, again, in the Greek, God's title. He inherited God's title. For God has never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, which was, "You are my favored son. Today I have fathered you." Now, this is kind of weird. In the Greek, it means, "Every day I birth you." Ladies, that would not be probably a fun thing if it was in the physical. But that's what God said. "Every day I birth you." And this, "I will be the father to him, and he'll be the son to me." And again, when he brought his firstborn son into the world, he said, "Let all my angels bow down before him and kiss him in worship." And about his angels, he says, "I will make my angels swift winds and my ministers fiery flames." The ministers here is actually the word priests. "I will make my priests." Well, who are they? We don't have priests anymore. You are a priest. We're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, which is really weird again, too, because royalty were never priests, and the priesthood was never royalty. They were two separate groups, and they stayed separate. And then God declared us to be a royal priesthood covering both. We're children of the Most High God, princes and princesses, and we are priests. That means we serve and worship him and help others do the same. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing. Did I read that already? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. I jumped a page. "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever, and you will rule your kingdom with justice and righteousness, holding the royal scepter." What's that one, "lifter of my head"? How does that verse go? "The glory and the lifter of my head"? Remember in the Old Testament, talked about he's the glory and the lifter of my head? And people said, "Oh, he helps me get out of depression. He's the lifter of my head." That's not what it means. It doesn't mean it at all. When the king would come back into town, there'd be a procession, and he'd be riding on the horse, and the people would line the streets on both sides and kneel down and bow their head, and their requests before the king would be written on a piece of parchment. And they'd hold it up in the air, kneeling down, with their heads bowed, and the king would be walking through them, reading them with all the petitions. As he's riding by, he's looking down and reading them. Their heads are down, they're bowed down, their petition is up, and he stops and he extends this scepter, this long, beautiful kind of walking stick staff thing. Very ornate, and he reaches down and he puts it under their chin and he lifts their chin up with the end of the scepter. And it means, "I've granted your request." So the lifter of our heads is the grantor of the petition. The king lifts your head and says, "I read what you're asking for. It's granted to you. For you have cherished righteousness and detested lawlessness. For this reason, God, your God, has anointed you," the Christ Messiah, "and poured out the oil of bliss," or anointing of joy, "on you more than any of your friends." And he, God, called him Lord, called Jesus Lord, saying, the Father said to Jesus, "Lord, you formed the earth in the beginning, and with your own hands, you crafted the cosmos. They will both one day disappear, but you will remain forever." I told you there was a verse about the universe being gone and you still staying. Then how big is it now? We are the big deal. Don't be frustrated that you're so small and the universe is so big. Rejoice that a God that loves you so much and is so creative would put you in this massive universe, and you're the focus and the focal and the center of the whole thing. Did you want a teeny tiny universe? Is that what you wanted? One star, one flower, one color, one flavor? One animal, No, what did you want? The God of too much made a universe out of too much. And then he said, you're going to live like Malachi 3 and you'll have no room to contain it. So that's the way it is. They will all fade like a worn out garment, and they will be changed like clothes, and you will fold them up and put them away. But you are I am. What's that mean? God the Father is saying to Jesus, you are I am, which is a shortened version of I am that I am. But here it's a slightly different. God looked at Jesus, and in the Greek it said, you are as you are. God the Father, who said, I am that I am, turned to Jesus and said, you are as you are. If you try to name your kid I am that I am, they'll probably reject it on the birth certificate. So, I don't know. Let's go on. You never change. Years without end. Literally, it says the years will not change you. And God has never said this, the following, to any of his angels. Take your seat next to me at my right hand until I force your whispering enemies to be a rug, or that could be translated footstool, under your feet. And it was the idea of putting your foot on the enemy's neck that you've just captured before you kill them. You're standing on his neck with your foot. What role, then, do angels have? The angels are spirit messengers. The literal translation means spirit winds of ministry, sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. Because angels already see us saved in Christ, they rejoice at the opportunity to serve us. They already see our value. Even people who struggle with their value, the angels already see the value and are delighted to serve us. By doing so, they serve Christ. Now, that's just like God asked us to serve others as unto Christ. Remember Ephesians 5:22? In the Passion Translation, it says, for wives, this means being supportive to your husbands like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. That's a struggle for some people, serving others as if they are Jesus. I mean, if you're scrubbing a toilet or sweeping up or doing dishes or cooking or anything, it says under the Lord. There's a lot of stuff and work that we do on planet Earth that is tiring. Some of it's dirty. And how do you do it? You do it unto the Lord. I just finished our bathroom, and it's way cool. And the whole time Shelley was gone, I was trying to race against time to finish it. And the whole time, I'm doing it under the Lord. Because I put in a jet tub, a soaker one, a 20-inch deep one. Yeah, a double wide. And it's got a waterfall in the corner. It's way cool. But I'm getting up at 6 in the morning, going to bed at midnight. I'm working hard on this thing. And the whole time, I've got somebody on, usually Keith Moore or somebody like that in the other room cranked up, or different Rhema speakers that I listen over and over again. But inside of me, I'm trying to serve Shelley so she can like get her muscles all relaxed and rubbed out and get some sleep so she can get up and do ministry and serve God herself. And so when I was doing it, it was an act of love, but it was tiring and dirty. But I did it as unto the Lord. And some ladies might think, my husband's nothing like the Lord. And you think, well, you're judging by the outward. Because outwardly, some people have rough edges. But on the inside, anybody ever known bikers that converted to Christ? Hardcore bikers that came over to Christ, hardcore gang members that converted to Christ. And you think, wow. They had rough outsides, but the inside, they were a spiritual marshmallow. Their cry at the drop of a hat, they'd give you anything and everything. They'd serve you and think, how can they go from one extreme to another? Well, there's an outside and there's an inside. And when we serve people, we don't always have access to the inside till we serve the outside. Sometimes you need to earn a right to speak into someone's life. And when you first encounter them, they've got a lot of rough edges. And you can't get to their insides until you deal with that outside. So, yeah, you serve them as unto Christ. Sometimes they're difficult to deal with and be with. But on the inside, what does God love about them? He's going after their heart. Now, if the husband is saved, then you're serving another fellow brother and sister in Christ, part of the body of Christ. But if you're serving someone or married to someone that's not saved yet, well, how does God view them? Why did God so love the world that he sent his only son? Because that's our assignment. So we serve others out of mercy and compassion. You might even get the reputation like Christ did. They're hanging around some rough characters. I don't know if I'd go to that ministry at all. That's not my kind of ministry. You see the way they dress? Well, the last I checked, clothes are worn on the outside. Anybody wear clothes on the inside? So we have an assignment. And it says the angels serve us because they're serving Christ. They already see us as valuable. Now, I don't know if you're aware of angels around you or the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. It's a spiritual awareness. And I try to resolve these issues in myself. Typically, when you're home and you're rushing from the shower to the bedroom or whatever, you may not put something on. I'm more conscious now, even if I'm home alone, of slipping something on. I'm not alone, you know. And I know that it's a non-issue. It's a non-issue. I'm living righteous, you know. It's a non-issue. With the Holy Spirit and with angels. But it makes me not insecure. It just makes me more aware. Like, okay, you're all there. I mean, we live a holy life, don't we? This young couple that we counseled for years, and they got married, and neither one had been with another person before. They're both entering marriage as virgins. And so the awkward night came to them, awkward being that it's the honeymoon night and they're settled in. And the guy tells me, he said, we were there in bed with the lights out and the covers up, and they're both just laying there side by side like this. And he says to her, do you realize that we're both laying here naked? And just as quick as that, she says, and unashamed. I thought, that's a right answer. There's stuff we do that we're trying to find categories for, and yet you serving God and living for God and stuff, and unashamed. Boy, if you could see the busyness of the spirit realm around you, wherever you go and what you do, both the demonic and the angelic and the Holy Spirit within you, you would know what to do, what to look at, what to think. You'd think, what a busy place this is. But we're becoming more aware of the spirit realm and less aware of this flesh realm. That's how it's supposed to be. But we do things because we're a holy nation. We do things because we're a royal priesthood. God established that. And a lot of the ordinary things that we don't look very holy. But we're doing it unto the Lord, and it is. The washing of the feet was the lowest servant level, dirtiest job in the house. Jesus did it to show us the way. Well, that was a walk through Hebrews chapter 1. Bless God, I am so glad we have the Bible. What an interesting God we serve. How interesting is he? He's got good ideas. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Holy Spirit, on the inside of us. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus, and we love you, Holy Spirit. May these words this morning encourage us, strengthen us, help us to serve you, glorify you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.